This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We have so much already to get to today. And it is MLK Day. We are live. And I think my advice I would give to people, if you would so indulge me, I was actually discussing this with someone over the weekend, and I'll get into this conversation I had with an educator over the weekend because I thought it was fascinating. But she said to me that when she sends her students out on Fridays before this day, she says, actually read the I Have a Dream speech. Listen to it, read it, and take in what he said, because a lot of what he said in that speech is not something we really think about today. We actually operate in a very opposite way of the way Martin Luther King Jr. hoped we would. We do not judge people based off the content of their character. Right now in our society, it's kind of reversed. We've done this weird, in an attempt to be so not racist, our society has become more racist. It's very bizarre. We will get into all of that. On a happy note as well, Howie Carr's birthday is today, January 17th. I made a joke on Twitter saying happy 50th, did not well received. People did not understand I was kidding. And so now there's a bunch of angry people on Twitter who think I believe Howie's 50 years old. So it's kind of a twofer, because I got to wish Howie a happy birthday. I also got to get a ton of hate mail for later on today. So definitely win-win scenario. But a sincere happy birthday to Howie Carr. He is the best boss ever. And he has given me so many opportunities and helped me figure this whole thing out. And I'm very grateful for that. Now, let's get to the big news over the weekend, which was the situation in Texas. And I'm going to break this down based off the important details, and then we'll come to what the FBI gathered from this. The FBI never ceases to amaze in their incompetence. I mean, it's like they're in a competition with themselves to be bigger idiots every time something happens. And they keep winning. They're succeeding. It really is amazing. So there was a hostage situation in Texas. And the hostage taker was British national. And if I pronounce these names wrong, please forgive me here. But Malik Akram. Now, the hostages were people who were from the Texas synagogue, a synagogue in Texas. And the hostage taker's demand was the release of Al-Qaeda operative Afia Siddiqui. Now, let's talk a little bit about Afia Siddiqui. She's currently serving an 86-year sentence. She's been convicted of trying to shoot U.S. military members in 2008. And also, something I find pretty important to this story, she has a history of anti-Semitism. Those are just the Grace Curley, you know, little bullet points here. What you can gather is up to you. But I look at those and I think, huh, those details do shine a bit of a light on what happened there. The good news is all of the hostages were unharmed, which is wonderful news. And I was late on this on, I think it was happening Saturday afternoon or nightish, and I didn't really see it till hours later. And I just took a big sigh of relief that all of these hostages were unharmed. That was a major blessing, and I'm very happy about that. But the FBI sees this situation. These are our Lego experts. You know, these are the people that, they're not great with red flags, but they're very great at figuring out who the grandma was with the Trump flag wrapped around her in the rotunda. That they can drill down on. You know, Larry Nassar, Richard Jewell, they have a couple of, you know, mistakes in their past, no doubt. But typically, they're pretty on the ball with these things. No, I'm kidding, of course. They're terrible. And this is a scenario where, in order to ignore the facts of this. You have to be so detached from reality. And so I want to play for you what the FBI said after this happened. Again, the hostage taker, his demand to release the hostages was that Afia Siddiqui, an Al-Qaeda operative, would be released from her 86-year sentence where she was convicted of trying to shoot U.S. military members in 2008 in Afghanistan. And she has a history of anti-Semitism, including the fact that I believe she didn't want anyone. Actually, let me read if I have. Yeah, here we go. She has a history of anti-Semitism. I believe this is Fox News, including demanding that jurors in her case be DNA tested and removed if they have Zionist or Israeli background. Now, this whole thing is unraveling at a synagogue in Texas. I don't want to sound like Maxine Waters, but can we connect the dots? Is it even possible? Can we drill down on this? Do we need a blue ribbon commission to go, some of these things seem like they could be related? Let's listen to what the FBI had to say. Cut 16, please, Jared.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community, but we're continuing to work to find motive, and we will continue on that path. In terms of the resolution of the incident, the hostage taker is deceased.
So they just think this is singular event, no relation to anything to do with the Jewish community. So I guess what we're to gather from that is this is just a coincidence.
Lone wolf, I believe is the term.
He was just, you know, deciding where to do this, and he said, you know what, that building looks like it would be a good building. That's, of course, absurd. And Twitter blew up when they saw that clip going around. Everyone. Actually, my favorite tweet was from Donald Trump Jr. And he said, don't worry, guys. Our intelligence and federal law enforcement may be too busy to monitor foreign Islamic extremists. But rest assured, if your grandmother took a selfie somewhere within 1,500 miles of D.C. on January 6th, they're watching her closely if she hasn't been arrested already. Whew. Well, isn't that good to know? You know, it's priorities. Priorities are such a big part of making something a success. And the FBI has zero priorities. Now, they changed their statement on this, but not before Joe Biden could repeat it. Let's hear cut one.
Do you know why he targeted that specific synagogue?
Well, no, I don't. I don't think there is sufficient information to know about why he targeted that synagogue, why he insisted on the release of someone who's been in prison for over 10 years, why he was engaged, why he was using anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli comments. We just don't have enough facts.
Oh, you just named a lot of them, didn't he? And so the FBI comes out later and says this is a terrorism-related matter in which the Jewish community was targeted and is being investigated by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Better, as I always say, better late than never. But can we acknowledge that you're late? This is not something that requires a lot of critical thinking. This is something you read the headline and go, oh, okay, I get it. I'm not saying you can't look into it more, but are we that detached from reality? And that brings me to what I want to discuss in this opening hour. I had a really, as I mentioned earlier, really interesting conversation with a teacher, and she teaches in a very woke town, and she is incredibly intelligent. She loves American literature, and she was just telling me the destruction of these kids, and she said, I cannot believe the weakness in the next generation. We are educating the weakest generation that our country has ever seen. And it's frightening. And these kids, they don't participate. They have the masks on. They have, you know, the hoods over their faces. A hood and then the hair right above their eyes. There's no life there. It's just like little robots who are sitting there completely depressed, anxious, all of the above. And it's this detachment from reality where we can't acknowledge what is happening. And that, and she was discussing, you know, people who are transgender, you know, you now have to identify, you have to say they, their, them. She told the headmaster at her school. I'm not calling people they. I'm an English teacher. It doesn't make any sense. But then I see a story today about a teacher who gets fired because she won't call or interact with a student who identifies as a cat. She won't meow back at this kid. So he leaves, or she leaves, or the cat leaves, and she gets fired. And then I see stories, and the reason I say that is because I do feel, in general, in life, and this kind of brings me back to the Obama years, where he could never acknowledge what things were. Remember ISIL? You know, if you can't name things when they become a problem, if you can't say that's an issue right there, then the problem's never going to get solved. And I look at this as far as crime right now. We have a huge disconnect where the left is trying to convince us that people are hysterical about crime. And I'm going to give you a really quick example, and we're going to get into all of this, so feel free to chime in. It's 844-500-4242. But I read this headline, okay, from New York. It's horrible. It's a horrible headline. Deranged man pushes Asian woman to death at Times Square subway station. Now, there's also a very particular reason why we know the race of the woman and we don't know the race of the person who pushed her into the subway station, because it doesn't fit the narrative, because it might upset people. James Gagliona on Twitter said, "This is the new normal. Name the race or ethnicity of the victim, Asian woman. Describe the perp in nebulous terms as to not offend. Case in point with description here. Subject has a gray beard and was wearing black hooded jacket." Now, if that's not nebulous enough, let's hear from Eric Adams. He says, this is the same day I see this headline in the New York Post. So I read one headline that says, deranged man pushes Asian woman to death at Times Square subway station, okay? Then I keep scrolling my Twitter and I see this headline from the New York Post. Eric Adams insists subway is still safe and there is only perception of fear. Well, let's talk about the perception of fear. Because if I hear that a woman got pushed into the subway tracks and killed, that's not a perception. That's a reality. That is what is happening. And it's happening in California as well. And of course, you could all make a jump here. If you want to be as quick as the FBI, you could say a lot of these places where this crime is happening are run by Democrats. But I won't make that jump. I'm going to have to investigate it for a few more hours before I come out and announce that. But how about this from L.A.? UCLA grad student fatally stabbed while working at high-end L.A. furniture store. And then Union Pacific claims slams LADA for social justice crime policies leading to freight train thefts. Have you heard about this? There's cardboard boxes everywhere. Louis Vuitton bags, Xboxes. They're all over the subway tracks or the freight train tracks. And here we are being told everything's lovely. Don't look. Everything's fine. Oh, people are frustrated because of inflation, but it's not really that big a deal, tells Stephanie Roll. It's this inability to confront the reality that scares me. Because if we cannot say what's happening, how can we fix it? We're being gaslit at every turn, especially by Jen Psaki, Joe Biden, the FBI, all of these woke, ridiculous people. And it should scare everyone. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. We'll talk a little bit more about this. And it's not just crime. It's also with COVID. And it's also with education. There's so many elements right now of our society where we're not being honest. And we're just whistling past the graveyard. No one likes to feel out of the loop, but that's how I felt in the office when Jared and Taylor would talk about their investment apps and cryptocurrency. I wanted to grow my wealth too, but I couldn't wrap my head around a lot of the current fads. That's when I turned to Goldco, the leading precious metals company in the U.S. and five-time Inc. 500 winning company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of positive reviews. You can trust the team at Goldco to help you protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth kit that uncovers the secrets that your financial advisor won't tell you. And this is the really cool part. If you visit goldco.com/grace now, Goldco will give you up to 10% in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to 10% in free silver. I've already invested in gold and silver with Goldco because I know what I'm getting, and I know I'm in good hands. If you want to protect and grow your wealth like I did, you can trust the experts at Goldco. They've helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect them against inflation and tax hikes. That's goldco.com/grace. We'll take your calls when we get back. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I should mention this as well. I said it's Howie Carter's birthday today. And he received a wonderful gift, which was when I was driving in today, it was so crappy here in New England. It was pouring. I was, you know, covered in rain and cold and shivering. And that's what makes Howie the happiest, is when he's in sunny Florida and we're all shivering here in New England. So happy birthday, Howie. Eden Pure is bringing back their famous buy one, get one free sale on their most popular product, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACEBOGO. This offer ends Sunday, January 23rd at midnight. I believe that's this Sunday coming up. So make sure you hop on that. Shipping is free, by the way. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who'll get the first question at Biden's Wednesday press conference?
Ooh, if you miss this, Biden is having a press conference on Wednesday. I had tweeted out earlier that if you're only going to do one traditional press conference a year, you might as well knock it out in the very beginning. And then you've got, you know, the rest of the year, your schedule is pretty clear. Who do we have as options, Jared?
AP Zeke, Yamiche, ABC Mary, or Peter Ducey?
We know it's not going to be Peter Ducey. He might say at the end, you know, I shouldn't take a question from you. You one horse pony, but I, God love you. Go ahead, ask me one. But he's definitely not going to be first. I'm saying AP Zeke.
AP Zeke only at 6%.
Really?
55% believe ABC Mary will be first.
Oh, ABC
32%
Mary.
32% for Yamiche, 6% for both Peter Ducey and AP Zeke.
You can't beat ABC Mary. Do we even know who she is? I don't know which Mary. I don't know. But
we don't even know if her name was Mary.
Yeah, really. Who knows? There was a story I mentioned in the opening that I do want to read here. Teacher, and I might have another story that hits closer to home here in Massachusetts, but I'm waiting on a source to let me know if it's true. Teacher alleges she was fired for not meowing back at student who identifies as a cat. This was a substitute teacher. Can we listen to a little bit of this sound here? Jared, cut 10.
I've got to rant for a minute. Just when I thought school couldn't get any weirder, it did today. I'm a sub, and the most important thing we do is take rolls so the school gets paid. So I'm looking at the seating chart as I'm going up and down the rows and marking who's here and who's not. I get to the third row, and I hear this, meow. Excuse me? Excuse me? I start looking on the ground. Go to the fourth row, everything's good. Go to the fifth row, everybody's there. Then I hear, meow. I'm like, okay, what's up with that? Who's doing it? And this little girl in the very front row says, you have to meow back at him. He identifies as a cat. Are you kidding me? I said, is there a litter box in here somewhere? My sarcasm self. Probably shouldn't have said that. He gets up and he storms out of the classroom. And I'm like, rough. And of course, the entire class is laughing. And I think, oh, no problem, no foul. I go to the office, you ready for this? You check out. They said, we no longer need your services if you can't identify with all the children in the classroom. And you wonder why they don't have any subs. I told the lady, I said, I didn't know cats were considered people. I thought they were pets. Another school off my list.
They're just a human being.
I want chicken, I want liver, meow mix, please deliver.
But really, how are we supposed to do? Does anyone think we can sustain at this pace? People are identifying as cats now in school, and it's being encouraged?
And if this was kindergarten,
No, right, no.
But
even
this is
then,
beyond kindergarten.
Jared, if this is kindergarten, you say stop doing that. That's part of the problem. 844-500-4242. We're going to keep going with a lot of this craziness when we come back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It's 844-500-4242. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day here in the United States, and I actually had a really good tweet about this. All right, so the FBI says, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And they did hashtag MLK Day 2022. That was a tweet from the FBI. So Sean Davis from The Federalist, who's been on the show before, wrote back, aren't you the same FBI that illegally spied on MLK, sought sex tapes of him, leaked the information, and then tried to bully MLK into killing himself? I believe that that is correct. That would be our FBI.
I didn't know they had Legos back in 1964.
The FBI, man.
68, excuse me.
It's just wild, the stuff that... Can we hear that cut again? I have to say that this cut of the FBI telling us that the hostage situation at a synagogue in Texas is not specifically related to the Jewish community. And maybe it may be the stupidest thing you'll hear this week, but let me tell you, it's always competitive, okay? It is always a very fierce competition when it comes to the stupidest thing you're going to hear. But this is at least going to make the top five. Cut 16.
We do believe from our engagement with this subject that he was singularly focused on one issue, and it was not specifically related to the Jewish community. But we're continuing to work to find motive, and we will continue on that path. In terms of the resolution of the incident, the hostage taker is deceased.
They later came out and said, actually, we got that wrong. You know, just add it to our list of mistakes that we've made. If you ever want to go down that list, I suggest you tune into Howie's show after mine. He usually can spend a segment or two talking about all of the FBI's mistakes. And as Sean Davis just pointed out, they date back a pretty long time. This is not a new phenomenon. I do want to have a little segment here, Jared, of journalism in the news, because I was impressed with the Baghdad bombing over the weekend.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
And to be fair to all of our friends in the mainstream media, it has to be hard. You know, the spin job just keeps getting more difficult. And I think they knew taking this on when they pushed Joe Biden over the finish line from his basement, they knew that they were going to have to do some heavy lifting because they had to get rid of all of their ethics and all of their journalistic curiosity during the Trump years in order to really buy into Joe Biden and his empathy and his decency and his normalcy. They had to really, really buy in and drink the Kool-Aid. And they did. They drank so much Kool-Aid. And now it's becoming clear that this is unsustainable, that it's every single day trying to not talk about inflation, gas prices, COVID, the border, even the things they used to be able to distract with, like Joe Biden's dogs. That's hard to talk about now because his dog, you know, got sent to the farm. So there's so many issues that they're not allowed to talk about in order to keep up this idea that Joe Biden is the best ever. And he doesn't even believe it anymore. I think for a while he did. He was like, yeah, there's a reason all these people love me. And then lately he's been coming out very despondent.
Joey, baby!
And so they're going to have him come out on Wednesday and do a press conference. We'll see how that goes. I have my predictions, but I'll keep them to myself.
This is going to sound wonky.
So over the weekend, a lot of these shows were trying to put their heads together, you know, trying to have like a on-the-go DC think tank where they could figure out what hasn't been going right. Why is it that people don't seem to like Joe? Could it have something to do with the economy? Could it have something to do with the rising crime? Could it have something to do with their children having to be masked 24/7 in school and missing out on years of their education and their social, their socializing? No. No, it's got to be that Americans don't understand. That's always the answer, is that we don't understand how great things are. We don't get how happy we should be. But a lot of people don't use the same metrics as the mainstream media. The mainstream media's metrics for being happy is Trump president? If the answer is no, they are thrilled. But most people look at their bills and they look at their quality of life, and that has not improved under Joe Biden. Not to mention the fact that he came in as this guy who was going to usher in unity, and then he called half the country George Wallace. So that hasn't really been a promise that he's kept either. Now, there was a good piece today that I want to read you a couple of lines from before we get into these cuts from the mainstream media. And it was by Roger Kimball. And I think it's from American Greatness. But he said, I almost feel sorry for Joe Biden. And he goes on to kind of compare Jimmy Carter's speech, his really bad malaise speech, with Joe Biden's recent speech in Atlanta. And he points out that Carter's speech was bad, you know, and it really was. And it was like a bizarre combination of, he calls it, cardigan clad sentimentality and faux folksiness. But Carter's speech was not nearly as bad as Joe Biden's because it was not mendacious. And there is a huge difference. And there's another part of this that I think he really hits the nail on the head. He says, Joe Biden's problem, it's a thing that makes me almost feel sorry for him, is that so many things are spinning rapidly out of control. It's the velocity as much as the substance of the collapse that makes it such an onslaught. And then one of the examples he gives, which I found very interesting, is that in Philadelphia, they're stunned by a raft of violent carjackings, okay? They shouldn't be that stunned, because this is happening in a lot of places where Democrats are in charge. But they've issued a guidance to people to be aware of certain hot spots. And here are some of the hot tips on how to avoid being carjacked. These are some of the times where you need to be particularly aware and alert so that you can avoid having your car taken from you. When you are getting in and out of the vehicle, that's one, which is kind of important. Most of us have to do that in order to drive somewhere. You have to at some point get in, some point get out. I know, it's tough. Maybe in a few years we'll get around that, but as of right now, that is usually how you get into a car. Residential driveways, another hotspot. So be aware of that. If you have a driveway, if you use your car in the driveway, if you have to pull into a driveway, again, keep your antennas up and let's keep ourselves alert. Number three, parking lots and garages, also a hotspot. Some people use parking spots. Actually, sometimes you'll be using a parking lot also at the time you're getting out of your vehicle. So that's a double whammy. That's two times. And if your parking spot is a residential driveway and you're getting out of your vehicle, whoa!
Who are these people that live on the edge like this?
Triple threats. That is a triple threat. Number four, gas stations. Now, if you have an electric vehicle and you just go to one of those electric chargers outside of Whole Foods, maybe you can avoid this. But you're probably not going to avoid the parking lots and getting in and out of your vehicle. ATMs. Don't go to ATMs. And streets with poor lighting. So Roger Kimball writes, have they left anything out? Is there anywhere you aren't likely to be carjacked? I think it would have been easier for them to write the list and just give us an example of when you're safe. Because all of these, when you're not safe, that seems to be the experience of driving.
If you are not in a car and you do not own a car and you are not by a car, your chances of getting carjacked go down by 75%.
But if you're near an ATM and they realize you don't have a car, they might just want what you're taking out of the ATM.
Because
sometimes people see ATMs and they think money.
That's right, but pay attention to what's going on in the car. Don't keep your guard up as you're handing wads of cash into your pocket.
No. We got to figure out one thing at a time here. And then at the end, he says, but what's gradually coming into focus is the awful truth that the real big lie was that Joe Biden won the election fair and square. The narrative is unraveling strand by strand. Now, in a world where we're telling people that almost every part of driving a car could lead you to be getting carjacked, we never think to ourselves, why aren't we putting the carjackers in prison? We just think, here's ways you can fix it. Because it's always the person, it's always the innocent party's fault. There's a lot of victim blaming right now among liberals. Does anyone else notice that? It's like London Breed in San Francisco said, okay, so the Louis Vuitton, you know, they're getting ransacked. And then she said, well, we need to make the parking more difficult for the regular people so that the cars, so that the shoplifters don't have such an easy time pulling out of here. So now you're someone who just wants to go shopping and spend your money. And you're like, oh, great. So my life is now inconvenienced because San Francisco can't put criminals behind bars. And it gets worse. Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago. I'm sure a lot of my listeners know her. She's the one who sends very vicious emails in all caps. She at one point was blaming store owners for not locking up their merchandise. We don't ever seem to focus on the person who's committing the crimes. That's just my take. But over at CNN, Brian Stelter is trying to figure out why all of these things that are happening in Joe Biden's America, all of these things that are a direct result of Joe Biden's terrible governing and terrible policies, are for some reason leading people to not like Joe Biden.
Come on, man.
Huh? How can that be the case? People are blaming the president when everything in the country is going wrong? That doesn't sound like Americans to me. Brian Stelter's talking to Joe Lockhart, and he's trying to get the Democrat POV on how the press is failing Biden. First of all, I think it's safe to say that Brian Stelter has a Democrat POV. We don't have to pretend that it's really, like, for him to really get into, I'm trying to get into the mind of a Democrat. Explain it to me, Joe. I'm pretty sure you're already there, Brian. But let's listen to this expertise from CNN, Cut 4.
Joe, can we go to Biden for a moment? Because I'd like to hear a Democrat's point of view about Biden at the one-year mark. How is the press treating Biden as he heads into that one-year mark?
Listen, I think the press is failing. They're treating him unfairly. First off, there ought to have been a dividend for returning truth and decency to the White House. And we didn't get that. We didn't get it at all. We've kind of returned to the snarky attitude that we saw with Trump and in some respects to Obama. And I'll give you an example about some of the decisions that get made. As I said, from the very first briefing, the Trump spokespeople lied. They lied every day, every briefing. And the majority of those briefings were aired live on television. Jen Psaki's in there now telling the truth. She's telling us what's going on in the government,
Whoa! What
people need to hear.
I hate to play Glenn Kessler. I hate to play Daniel Dale right now. I am not qualified. I did not go to Fact Check University, but I'm going to have to fact check that. Jen Psaki lies around the clock. Jen Psaki lied recently and said Ron DeSantis doesn't do a good job of promoting vaccines. Fact check, he actually got criticized and accused of being part of some conspiracy theory with Publix because he was doing too good of a job promoting the vaccines. Jen Psaki said there was no way the administration could have anticipated the Taliban taking over Afghanistan. Intelligence suggests that they were warned multiple times that exact scenario may play out. Lie. And if you really want to go to the most ludicrous lie, just so you can understand how often this woman lies and how she does not care what she's lying about. No lie too big, no lie too small. It's like what Howie says about graft. She lied about the dog biting people. So it's not only like, oh, the Afghanistan withdrawal, we're leaving people in Afghanistan, we're leaving Americans in Afghanistan. It's not just, you know, lying about the economy and where we're at. It's not just gaslighting people round the clock with a smug smile and all of these, you know, arm movements to show you that she really means business. Let's go Bengals. And it's not just lying about Governor Ron DeSantis, who, by the way, she seems pretty obsessed with. It's also lying about Major biting everyone in the White House.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
But sure, Joe, sure. She is a very truthful press secretary, and we are so lucky to have her, and the media needs to start doing a better job. Speaking of that, Joe, you should thank your host there, Brian Stelter, because when he got the chance to talk to Jen Psaki, Jen Truth and Honesty Jen Psaki, he asked her, what could the press do differently?
There's no time for potato heads.
So you have found a friend in Brian Stelter, Joe. Yikes.
He nominated a woman.
These people in the media, they've gone from like an alternate world to just an alternate universe. There's no coming back. The press is too hard on Joe Biden. Did they ask him to be more specific about his ice cream flavor? And maybe I missed it. I don't know what they're talking about. We'll get back to this when we return. 844-500-4242. I also have another great Democrat with a press pass, Chuck Todd. He's trying to get to the bottom of this, too. There's a lot of head scratching going on right now. How did we get here? If you're looking for that perfect winter getaway on Cape Cod, then you need to think of the Nauset Beach Inn. Cozy up next to the warm fireplace and take in the ocean view from every room. A lot of people think Cape Cod in the summer, but it's so fun to go there off season. You can get really cozy. They're pet friendly too. And it's a fun spot to check out when you just want to lay low, enjoy, relax, enjoy nature a little bit. Jared, you actually went off season.
Yeah, I was in there early December, and it was great. You're right on the beach, and the beach in the summer is great, but the beach in winter is really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And even though all the rooms are connected in the buildings, you don't hear people through the walls. Everything, it's so quiet. It's so tranquil. Especially in the winter, you get to see the stars. You get to see the sunrise, you get to see the moonrise, you get to see the sunset. It's perfect. And they have the fire pits outside. So even if you are there in the cold, you get the best of both worlds. You get that crisp winter air and you're warm and you're just looking out at the beach. You hear the waves. It's incredible.
Hey, you showed me some of the pictures. Yeah. I couldn't even believe it was Cape Cod. It looked like tropical. It was so beautiful. Yeah. Nauset Beach Inn is the only hotel inside the Cape Cod National Seashore for oceanfront weddings. Rooms go fast at $119.99 a night. So book early at nausetbeachinn.com. You can also just check out the rooms. You don't have to take our word for it. Go to nausetbeachinn.com and check out what they have to offer. That's nausetbeachinn.com. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls on the mainstream media losing their minds over the fact that polling, that the American people are waking up. They look at these polls and they're upset that their spin is not having an effect on Americans. I look at these polls and it restores my faith in human beings and their intelligence. The fact that people are understanding how pathetic this man is. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. The funniest part about the media is now they're not even trying to pretend that all they care about is getting Democrats elected. They're having like brainstorming sessions during their segments where they say things are looking really bad for us. What can we do? What's going on? What can we do to win? What can we do to fix it? That's a part of this that I find so funny, because we're always told as Republicans, you know, we're grandma killers, we're selfish, you know, we don't care about people. But if you're someone who reads a story about the crime surging in LA or people being pushed into the subway tracks in New York City, and your gut response is, your instinct is to go, oh no, this might be bad for us in the midterms. That's ghoulish to me. That is incredibly insensitive and disheartening that is the response, but that is their response every time. It's not, oh, we have a crime problem. Oh, we have a COVID problem. Oh, we have any sort of problem. It's, oh, this is polling bad for us. This is going to look bad for us when people go to vote. It's not about the people who are actually hurting. It's about the people who might get hurt, politically speaking, if the headlines don't fit the narrative. All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about AOC, COVID-19, and Boris Johnson, and Glenn Youngkin. We've got a lot of people to cover. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.